Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today. That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Today's episode is brought to you by PodUp.com.
Let's be honest, whether you want to admit it or not, you've probably thought at some point to start a podcast. I mean, podcasts are fun. Podcasts are fun. You and I have a good time on here, Dan.
Just get on, talk junk.
Yeah. I mean, it's some dark content. What we're talking about isn't necessarily fun, but we make it fun. We have a good time. And we would never even met each other if it wasn't for podcasts. So
that's true. Podcasts and Canadians.
Podcasts and Canadians. Little D&D threw it in there. I mean, change your life.
Well, there are about 5 million podcasts out there, and around 90% of those stop after just 3 episodes. That's including about 1.8 million that stop before they even start, which we know thing or two about that, though, to be fair.
Yeah, we do, unfortunately.
Quite a few still on the drawing room floor.
Of those that do get started and pass that 3 episode mark, about 90% of those don't get past 20 episodes. And there's a reason. Podcasting is hard. Well, successful podcasting is hard.
Yeah, it's not just sitting in front of a microphone and talking for an hour. Though sometimes that's what it is for me. It's recording, audio editing, video editing, social media, promotion, blah, blah, blah. All the stuff that Kevin does.
And I do. And finding and paying for all that software to use can be just as big of a headache, not to mention expensive.
Well, with PodUp, you can have a one-stop shop for everything you need to take your podcast to the next level.
35 powerful modules with AI integration and one software, you can create, publish, grow, monetize, and manage your podcast with a simple, easy-to-use interface.
Everything from a site builder and recorder to editing for video and audio, live streams, blogs, and transcriptions.
Legal, newsletters, SEO.
Setting up shops, getting ads and sponsorships.
Managing your workflow, files, and even backing up your content.
Set up an account today and get 14 days free. And even schedule a demo with one of PodUp's podcasting experts to see how to start producing and monetizing your very own podcast.
And when you're ready, use our exclusive coupon code TORTURE15 for 15% off whichever package you decide to go with.
And if you're a professional that's even too busy for that, go to podallies.com.
Yeah, their done-for-you podcast production and marketing service will take care of the dirty work for you.
Dirty. We're talking websites, social media, editing work, SEO, all done for you. So you can just focus on being the star of the show, like me, and getting on with your day, unlike Kevin, who has to do all the work.
That's why everybody comes, is for Dan. And this team of experts will use PodUp software to put your podcast on the map where it belongs. See, just they're using PodUp software. It's all one big circle. It's coming all, it's always coming back around.
Like an opposite of a square.
That's right.
So, go to podup.com and podallies.com and use our coupon TORTURE15 for 15% off. That's TORTURE15 for 15% off.
PodUp.com, the ultimate podcasting platform. Thank you. The subject of today's episode is the device that brings a certain amount of dread to the phrase, take a seat. Used throughout the four centuries of the Catholic Church's reign of terror over Spain, it consisted of a wooden or metal stool with a very precarious top. Oh, and some ropes and pulleys to lower you down. We'll go back to the 15th century to meet up with a man we've spoken of not too long ago to find out why this, what was seen as a humane alternative, was created. And then all the way up to present-day Latin America, where it may still be used, with a couple slight yet painful alterations. With a handful of different names and designs from across medieval Europe, we'll focus the majority of our attention on the ones used to punish suspected heretics, hence it being named after the most famous heretic in history or mythology. Today, we give you the Judas Cradle. I'm Kevin Young.
Bonjour, je m'appelle Dan. J'adore le fromage et je ne sais pas pourquoi.
This is torture.
Good morning.
Oh, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Fucking hell. Consequently enough, I only have one French word to say in this episode, and I know how to say it just fine. Thank you very much. It's not like the last episode where I was going for half of it.
That was very good.
Oh, so Dan, what's going on with you over there?
They came back, Kev.
They came back.
Zombies. The sleeping bags didn't work. They came back. They ate all my food. The bastards.
Came back and ate my jelly beans. Oh, fuck.
Yeah. That's about it, though. The only good thing is
about it.
I'm not going to have to... I don't know if it counts as me getting away with Moida or not. Mm-hmm. Actually, kind of funny story on the whole thing. I went over to... Went over to the local shop. We were cleaning the cat's kitty litter toilet boxes. And we realized then that we had no cat litter left. So I had to go over to the shop and get some. Then we also realized we had like no bleach left and stuff. And I wanted to give them a proper deep clean. So,
sure.
But, oh, better go over to the shop then and get some stuff. So I went over and I got like new rubber gloves, scrubbing pad things. Enough bleach to kill several children. The cat stuff and a few other things. And I walked up to the till anyway, put all the stuff up. And the woman at the checkout turns and she looks at me and she goes, "You trying to clean up a dead body?" I said, "Yeah." She goes, "You answered that way too quickly." "Yeah." And she's just sitting there looking at me for a minute. I'm like, "I have cats." She's like, "Oh, okay."
That's when you go, "I need 80 bags of quick setting concrete." Yeah. "I might bring some of them back.
Do you have a shovel and a hatchet by any chance?"
"Where's the closest lake I can dump something?"
"There's bridge I can throw shit off."
Yeah. "And some black spray paint for the hair."
Yeah.
Oh,
I won't mention his name. Don't mention the one.
We used to play a game called Three Things to Make a Walmart Cashier Blush, and it was what three things could you buy together, just put up on the you know, belt they check out, that would make them blush, and we came up with some fucking doozies. That was a fun game to play back in the day. Yeah, it was a jar of Crisco. I don't know if you guys have Crisco over there.
I know what it is, though.
Okay, yeah. A jar of Crisco, a butternut squash, and season one of Hannah Montana on Blu-ray.
Oh, God. Ah. Oh, good God.
Or a rope, a dog collar, and a jar of peanut butter.
Oh, yeah. That's my kind of Friday night.
Yeah, there you go. And we used to do that because it was a game they played on the radio, on a radio show we used to listen to way back in the day. And me and the guys I worked with used to sit there and play while we were working. You know, we were insulating houses, and we'd scream it across the house as to what we were going to get. And then it always ended up us insulting each other's mothers and shit while we were doing it. I don't know. It just devolved into chaos. So good times. But, yeah it's fun. Fun game to play.
That sounds good.
You never know where your brain might take it.
In a local hardware shop someday. Fucking shovel, length of rope. Bag of lye, please.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. What are you doing? Oh, just some deconstruction work.
So you, what, you burying a body? Well, now I have to bury two.
Yeah. Oh,
I was saying before we get going, good on Ireland. I believe, was it Sweden and, no, Norway and Finland, or maybe Sweden? I can't remember what the other two. I know Norway was one of them. But good on them for recognizing the Palestinian state. This isn't a political podcast, but I don't see what's going on over there as a political thing. I see it as a human catastrophe, you know, it's a humanitarian aid thing, with the genocide going over there. It's not a conflict, it's a genocide going on over there. So good on them for being one of the only three to recognize them as a, you know, recognize the Palestinian state. So.
It's a shame they're doing fucking nothing about it, but, you know, apparently we voted, gave them 10 points in the Eurovision, which is completely ridiculous. Why anybody would have done it, I don't know, but that's the other thing as well, is having, we gave Israel, 10 points in the Eurovision, and why they're in it in the first place is ridiculous. But
yeah.
Anyway, no, we ain't a political podcast, but I'm going to get all political on you right now. God damn those assholes. That's all I was saying. we're not allowed to say about bad things, though, because, you know, we'd be
anti-canceled
and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, we'll be seen as anti-Semitic and all that. Yeah, it's not the same thing. Being anti-Semitic and anti-Zionist or anti-the Israeli government. You know, it's like being anti-American government, but that doesn't necessarily mean you're anti-American.
Just, I am.
It might be. But it's like, I have no problem with Jewish people. I know plenty of Jewish people, but what the Israeli government's doing is horrible, and the two things aren't the same.
Yeah.
100%. Not in the least. Now, if you're a Jewish person and you're wanting to go to Palestine and kill people, well, then you're a horrible fucking person. But if you're anybody and you want to go somewhere and just start killing people, you're a horrible fucking person. Let's take your religion
Catholic
out of
it. If you're Catholic and you want to do it. Yeah, if you're whatever. Yeah.
Well, my wife would say if you're Catholic, you're just horrible anyway. But that's...
Yeah. Imagine being British and Catholic.
You're like garlic to the Irish vampire.
They wish.
Oh, and I finished The Blade Itself, a book that Dan recommended to me. I really enjoyed it. So I gave about a 4.5 out of 5 stars. Not quite. There was a little bit there in the beginning where it felt like it was lagging a little with one of the characters. I was like, all right, let's hurry and get this over with. But after that, it really picked up. So I was going to do like 4.75 stars, but I had to take another quarter star away because some parts of that book, like every other word is erm. It's like, you don't have to say it that much. I get it. They're at a loss for words. Let's go. And it's like, and I read a passage to my wife, and she's like, yeah, that's a lot. I was like, I know, right?
If you keep up with the series, there's one of my more favorite kind of literary characters. And I'm not going to mention for now because I don't want you to have any form of expectation
sure.
from them, if you get me. But Yeah, the only fault I ever found with it was it has a little bit of that fantasy, kind of a bit of cheese to it in certain areas. Okay. You know, like yeah. But that's what I also kind of liked about it as well, like in the sense that you're not sitting there and you're not reading, like, the Silmarillion or whatever way you want to pronounce it, you know, and like it's right. not like you're sitting there reading Thorin, son of Tamen, son of Targaryen, son of, you know, all that shit. Like, I mean, it's somewhere between The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings.
Sure.
You know, I don't know why I went like this. I cut my balls. But, yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I need to pick his stuff back up because I was reading his and then I moved off to Brent Weeks for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And then I didn't come back. I have, I think, the last book of that series sitting there that I haven't finished reading. I barely started it. So, and there's like five or six books in that thing. There's the first law trilogy.
Yeah.
So there's the first law trilogy, and then there's what people refer to as, like, I think it's like referred to as the Blade quadrilogy or some shit. There's five or six books in there or some shit. But anyway, very good.
I'm going to keep on with the series. I liked it enough. I'm going to keep going.
Yeah, so. Good. Cool.
It's a good time.
Cool. I'm nearly finished The Hobbit again.
Yeah.
Barely get a chance to read. And when I do, I'm also a slow reader. So,
I hear you.
But yeah, I'm nearly finished it now again. Fucking just so great.
I'm in the middle of a splatterpunk murder serial killer book right now, and it's getting kind of gross, so I'm enjoying it. Nice. So The Summer I Died.
Cool. I'm going to have to read Brother soon, actually.
Dude, I'm telling you, it's fucking fantastic. How's Allison liking it?
She's finished it. Yeah, she thought it was really good. She would have given it about a 4.5 out of 5 as well. Yeah. Like, she's... She kind of caught on to some stuff in it way in advance because she's like that, in the sense that, yeah, you catch on to stuff. But she's like, I won't read a word about anything to you. She's like, just really enjoyed it. So I was like, cool.
Yeah. It's one of those, which this isn't a spoiler for you because you'd figure it out on your own. You see the twist coming.
Mm.
You're like, okay, I know this. But when it happens, you're still like, holy fucking shit. No, god damn it, no.
Yeah, looking forward to it, though. I'll have to read it at some stage.
It's great. It's fucking fantastic. Brother is a fantastic book. I love it. One of my favorite books I've read in many, many years. Well, now we got our book conversation out of the way.
Time to talk about pizza.
Time to talk about pizza. I haven't had any good pizza lately, so.
Neither have I.
So I might get some. We might order some pizza this weekend.
Speaking of vasectomies, let's get on to the subject.
I tell you, that will come up later.
Yeah, if you
wanna,
exactly.
If you want to wait, that'll come up later naturally. And nobody's going to enjoy it.
Least of all me.
Well, if you want to hear my vasectomy story, you'd have to go listen to the extended cut, which you can get exclusively on our Patreon at the Cult Leader or Inquisitor tier. So there you go. Which, I mean, you can technically get it for free if you go sign up for a 7-day free trial of the Cult Leader tier. You'll get it. So, it
involved a bottle of vodka and a garden shears.
Yeah, you know, back in the day when kids would pierce their ears with just a safety pin. Cube of ice and a nail. Yeah.
Cube ice and a nail.
That's how my dad pierced my aunt's ears when she was real little. She wanted her ears pierced, so he got out, you know, an ice cube, froze it, and then took a nail like a brad nail that you'd use for trim or something, just goes right through. My dad pierced my aunt's ears.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, God, a cat's back.
Well, now, if you have any ear-piercing stories, go ahead and email us. torturepod@gmail.com.
Or any fun stories about how you had your wee little wee one snipped or anything as well.
Isn't it funny how guys can just look at each other and be like, I gotta go, and then they make the scissors?
Yeah.
Just and everybody knows what they're talking about. There is nothing. It's like, you got to go make macrame? Were you going to go cut out pictures? No, every single person knows exactly what you're talking about.
That's it. I was texting a friend of mine because we have a stag slash a bachelor party, as you call it, right? Coming up. So I sent him a text because I was trying to find out when it was because I have to pay the deposit on it soon. Sure. So I wanted to make sure that it overlap or whatever. So I just text him and said, hey, have you got the details for that again? I need to double check the dates. Because I have something on, right? Straight away he comes back, he goes, yeah, you all right? Here's the dates. Are you getting a snip? Straight away. I'm like, what the fuck? Yeah. Immediately. So,
first thing, talk to guys. They want to make sure there's nothing going on with their dicks.
Yeah.
You just walk up to a friend and be like, hey, man, what's up? Is your Johnson okay? Is everything all right down there? Yeah, you're good?
You never reply with, it's a bit itchy, but even if it is, never say it.
How's it hanging? Short shriveled and always to the left.
A little bit itchy.
You've all heard us talk at nauseam about how much we love thebeardstruggle.com and to use our coupon code torture19.
From the oils and balms to the growth kits and shampoos, we love us some Beard Struggle. And saving money with our code torture19.
Well, now the Beard Struggle has a private VIP membership, the Viking Elite Black Card. It's composed of a community of beardsmen with access to exclusive deals, priority shipping, pricing, and perks with their premier partners.
You'll get year-round access to all special reserve and black collection scents, and get to take part in the decision-making, casting your vote for the scents they revive, and join exclusive beta product testing to shape their upcoming launches.
Stand apart with their exclusive Black Card apparel and merchandise. Attend exclusive events and meetups around the globe.
Custom NFC functionality allows you to easily refer customers and earn commissions with a tap, and you could win monthly cash and product giveaways.
Extended money back guarantee, free shipping insurance, and priority customer service with a dedicated line ensuring quicker response times and priority assistance.
Not to mention getting unmatched discounts on their partner brands.
Yeah, partners like Warg Fitness, Armorillo Coffee Beans,
Heathen Motors, Leviath Apparel,
Stonecot Fine Writing Supplies, Alehorn, Motor City Axe,
Bearded Geek Crafts, Black Island Leather, and more.
Sign up for 1 month, 3 months, or a 1 year subscription. Cancel anytime.
But be quick, because only 1,000 worthy individuals would be able to get a card at a time.
Beardstruggle.com. Do what's right for your beard. Do what's right for your face.
Sort your fucking beard out.
Oh, fuck. All right. Well, there you go. Dan, let's take you back to the mid-16th century Spain. Deep in the middle of the Spanish Inquisition, you are accused of being a Marrano, or a Jew that has claimed conversion to the Catholic faith, but still practices Judaism in secret.
Marrano.
That's what they call it, Marrano. M-A-R-R-A-N-O. I guess that's how it's pronounced. I'm sure there's a Spanish flair on top of it. This is, Spain, so.
Sure. I just immediately thought of Rick Moranis, so I was like, imagine your first name is Rick and you're known as a Marrano.
Yeah. Before you could be punished for such heresy, they would first need a confession and, hopefully, an acknowledgement of other so-called Marranos. So you are captured, taken to a dungeon of sorts, and the practice of extruding the truth would commence. Now, there are several different techniques and devices that could be implemented for this job. Auto de fe, or the act of faith, which was pretty much just burning you at the stake. The Spanish donkey, the knee splitter, or the tried and true champion of torture,
Crocodile
rack. Yeah, they get out the well, it's a lot of penis jokes today.
Yeah,
yeah. They get out the crocodile shears. You're like, I will tell you literally anything, anytime, anywhere. Yeah. What do you want to know?
It's like same about your cracker. The Spanish donkey sounds more like a promise than a threat. It's like, hey, it's a party on in here. Don't know what it is. Don't care. Sounds fun.
But because of your level of suspected heresy, they decide to go with the device that was literally named after the most infamous of blasphemers. Now, first, to add a little humiliation to the day, they strip you naked and walk or carry you to this specific apparatus. It's like, I'm not humiliated. Let it all hang out, baby.
Yeah.
You like what you see? Dunk. Come get some. Do you hear that? You took
Why is it whistling
pants?
When you walk?
Do you hear that hit the floor? Why is it whistling? What is it like? When it gets excited, it hums. It sings Frank Sinatra songs to me.
It glows blue when there's goblins nearby.
Fuck, you've been reading The Hobbit.
In Middle Earth, it's like your own little personal nightlight. Just walking around.
Remember that scene in Pulp Fiction where they open up the briefcase and it just glows gold?
Yeah.
That's what it's like. Now, what seems to be nothing more than a stool, three legs at a slight angle with a seat perched on top. Only with this particular stool, there is one slightly yet glaring addition. On top of the seat, there sits a rather large, very pointy pyramid. The closer you get, the stronger the smell gets as well. A mix of copper and iron blended with shit. Then, when you're right up on the instrument of your torment, you can see through the dim torchlight the reddish brown of dried blood mixed with the darker brown of what you can only assume to be caked on human excrement. They take ropes that are threaded through pulleys or gears in the ceiling and tie your arms, legs, and waist up in ways as so they can control every movement you make. They may also have a sort of harness to put you in. Then they hoist you up and over the stool and begin to lower you down. Now, they can go a few different routes. They can raise you up so your legs are a little more at an angle and your bottom half is a little more parallel to the ground. So the very sharp point of the pyramid sits directly on your coccyx. And anyone who has ever bruised their tailbone knows the pain and discomfort they will put you in. I don't know, Dan, if you've ever bruised your tailbone. I have bruised mine, and it is excruciatingly painful.
It's a pretty damn painful area.
Have anything we were out cruising in the, not in the woods, but like some of the back roads with an older friend, and I was like, I was like 15 at the time. And I was kind of sitting, like, not directly on my ass. I was kind of sitting on the side because I was, like, holding myself. And he hits this hill. And we go fucking flying through the air. I mean, he hit this hill going probably 80. And it was one of those hills that is, like, it's marked that you need to go no faster than 25 or 30. Otherwise, your car is going to go flying and bottom out. And he hit this thing going, like, 80. And when I came, I was in the air. When I came down, my ass went directly into the fucking door and opened the door. The
nice.
Door literally opened. The light in the car came on with my ass. And then it closed again. And I could not sit down for probably a week and a half without being like, oh. It hurt so goddamn bad.
Get one of those little blow-up cushions.
A little donut to sit on.
Yeah.
Get it pink with sprinkles, make it look like it's a Simpsons donut. Yeah. So tailbone stuff, that it fucking hurts. Hurts like shit.
Yeah, I can only imagine there's another thing I'm thinking here that it could potentially come up in.
There's two more.
Now,
there's
two more things. There's one of them in particular that I'm like,
I'm going to get to it. I'm going to get to it right now. Or they can let your legs go all the way down and then back a little. So you lean forward. And they put the tip right in the middle of your scrotum.
That's not quite what I was thinking, actually, but okay.
Oh, I know what you're thinking. It's coming. Don't worry.
Ah! Yes! I said to my wife before I came up here, I said, if there's no mention, if there's no mention of this, I would be very upset.
Lowering you down just enough to where it feels like it might start to rip open. Again, come back to the vasectomies. There are better ways to get your vasectomy done. Dan, we do not record this live, obviously. So I will ask you not to listen to this episode first thing Sunday morning, but to sit silently outside and wait and see if you can hear the echo of men across the world simultaneously going...
You always feel
But the third and worst option they have, yes, even worse than the ripped ball sack, was to let you go straight down. So the point of the pyramid goes right in line with your asshole, lowering you more and more. This was the torture of the Judas Cradle. Was that the bad one you were thinking of?
No, I was thinking more of that perineum.
The perineum?
An old gooch gouger, as you'd call it. That's what I assumed was going to happen. That would be really fucking bad, because you get the worst of every thing. And that's super bloody sensitive.
The taint hurts.
Yeah. The taint terror. The gooch gouger.
The taint will probably get some damage. You got to admit, when you're coming down on something like that, they're not going to hit your asshole perfect immediately. They're probably going to hit a few other parts, and
they're sitting there like,
I would
like
imagine
laser
the gooch is going to get it. Lower a little bit more, a little bit. Not wait. Pull them that way. That down. No, wait. To the right. To the right. To the right. Back it in. Back it in. Back it in. Back it in. Hold up. I would imagine that it probably got its sheer amount of damage. And further along, when there's more, when we get to more stretching and tearing, I'm sure the perineum gets plenty of.
They're two of the worst words you could ever use.
For those of you not watching the YouTube, Dan just made a face like you gave a cat a piece of lemon. He just looked.
Yeah, it's the tearing and stretching comment. Straight away, you get visuals. And it's just like, no.
Well, because there's a seam there. It's like that's where you get sewn up as a human when you're in the womb. That's where it gets sewn up. And if anybody knows, the first thing they tear on something, you know, the seam's just gonna go. It's gonna like the Blood Eagle. It's just gonna unzip.
Unzip. Oh god.
Oh. Now, what happens next was almost completely up to you. Maybe.
If they none of this is up to me. What are you talking about?
If they start asking you questions right away, demanding you confess and even give up others that practice your religion, you could tell them everything they want to hear, truth or not, and possibly be hoisted back up off the structure and sent on your way. Being one of the very few that survived this device, albeit in considerable amount of pain for the next few days or weeks. However,
It was Kevin. Straight away.
You just walk up to it, you see it, you're like, I would like to talk to my lawyer.
Yeah.
I would like to confess anything you want. Oh. Now, however, if they decide not to bother asking you questions right away, which happened a lot, they'd bring you in and they'd torture you for a little bit before they'd ask you questions and be like, all right, so that was the starter. Now we're going to ask you questions. You can decide, Or you could resolve to not tell them anything when they did ask. You could be in for a very agonizing few hours, if not days. Because on top of the option of where to put the tippy top of this obelisk of pain, they could also decide how much pressure they put on it, how long, if they should add any oil to make insertion smoother. They could even pull on your legs one after the other in order to almost shimmy you down further on to the what probably now feels less like a pyramid and more like a mountain's peak.
You start to feel it tickle the back of your throat a little bit.
I can taste it. I can taste it. They can even give you slack in the ropes, leaving all of your body weight on the single point, and then add weights to your legs to help pull you down even more. Sometimes, depending on how bored or frustrated the torturer was, they would place you down on whatever part of the body they so choose, make sure the angle of attack, as they say, was just right, lift you up, and drop you.
And that is where I think the slow weighted one.
I don't know.
But do you not think you might hit and potentially either bounce or might just stab you in the leg or something, and you might be
you die or it gets you in the gooch. That changes tune real quick. He's like, oh yeah, fuck. Never mind. Now, if this is on the coccyx, it would surely crack the bone, you know. Oh. And then you don't have a bruised tailbone, you have a cracked tailbone, which is just a whole nother problem in its own.
Be the least of your worries. Problems.
Yeah. Oh. On the scrotum, well, let's face it, you'd be lucky to have a sack attached still after that. It would rip you. Because apparently it's not just like a dull pyramid. It's apparently a very sharp pyramid. It comes to a point. Filings downs were used.
Jesus. Okay.
Yeah. But on the anus, well, a large amount of tearing would probably be the outcome. Not only to the sphincter itself, but the rectum, the gluteus muscles, and the tendons and ligaments in particular area as well. And I imagine, yes, the taint would be a taint after that. It would be a capitalized word. My taint. Now, this punishment could go on for hours, or they could keep you up there suspended for the ceiling, suspended from the ceiling, a glorified bar stool up your ass for days. And depending on which style of stool they had, would greatly determine your chance of survival. Some Judas cradles were exactly as I described, a stool with a large pyramid on top.
Well, loads of stool on top.
But a stool with my stool. Yeah. Because I just shit all over the place. Because, you know. A stool with a large pyramid on top. But then there were other variations. One was less a stool and more a, well, think Eiffel Tower.
For sake.
As Tan's eyes get big as he looks around the room. Still had legs, but on top was a long shaft with a bulbous top. So a giant wooden.
That's what they said about me.
Dildo. The top was also a pyramid, albeit a much smaller pyramid. And if you were able to slide down far enough, eventually you would get to the bottom, where there was nothing left to give your body some kind of resistance from sliding down, and it would, after some time, impale your organs. This specific cradle was used primarily for death sentences rather than simple interrogation. Be like, okay, move him off of that Judas cradle, and we're going to put him onto this Judas cradle. Yeah. It's really more of a efficiency thing, you see. Not to bother you too much. You will have to get down, switch ropes. But this one's really for you to be like, oh, my God. And this one was really for you to be like, oh, dead. So.
Yeah, it's just taller. And it's like, you imagine like walking in and seeing that one. You know, it's, yeah, it's pretty fucked up looking. I looked it up just there.
Yeah. You walk in, you're looking at it, you're like, oh yeah. Party. I've handled bigger, baby.
God, no, I haven't.
No. Nope. Now,
I will
say
never look at a triangle the same way again.
Every triangle you see, you're going to go, just hold your taint. Vasectomy. Now, say you didn't die while on the what has also been called the Judas chair, either because you gave in and talked, or because they decided you couldn't, they couldn't get any useful information out of you. They lift you back up, untie you, and sent you on your way. You would probably still die. Remember how I said that when you walked up to it, you could start to smell blood and shit. Well, as far as we know, the cradle was rarely, if ever, washed, which meant that even the slightest cut, let alone the virtual ass gaping most received, would result in a horrible infection from contact with other people's blood and fecal matter. So within days, probably, since this is the 16th century, you would die from an infected ass or ball sack, and there might not be a worse sentence that I've ever said on this show. I'd have to go back to, like, Nanking to find a worse sentence than that.
His tainted taint has killed him.
I have tetanus in my taint.
Yeah, but that was, they didn't seem to just believe in washing in general back then, so...
No, it wasn't a big thing. Germ theory was kind of on the outskirts of science.
Yeah, back in the day when being a carpenter was the most dangerous of professions, you get a splinter, and that's it, you're fucked.
Yep. Yeah. You get one splinter and you go home. I'm sorry, my dear.
Yeah.
We had a good run. I made it all the way to 27.
All 15 of our kids have died of cholera at this stage. I was just finished building the first Judas cradle. I got a splinter.
Oh, the irony! Yeah. The irony! It's like getting burned in your own brazen bowl. Now, in case you were wondering, ladies, you don't get out of this either. Now, they obviously didn't have the scrotum to aim for. They did have something else. And anyone that has given birth or seen someone give birth, you know things down there tend to split and tear quite easily.
Yep, been there. The last time I gave birth.
Yeah. I've seen it happen. It's not pretty. Like that. The whole thing, literally the whole entire thing isn't pretty. It's the miracle of childbirth. It is a war zone. Shut your fucking mouth.
I've never been physically present for it. I've seen it, but not, you know.
But physically present for four of them, and it doesn't ever get any better. For
it is
anybody.
Like it's snip kids, you know. Yes. I don't want to go through that shit.
Prophylactics for as long as you can, and then when you get a certain age, just cut it, just cut the whole thing off, because you don't want that type of problem. It's horrible.
No.
So
you can
when
always make
and
up your
where...
own Judas cradle at home to get the job done if you need to be, but we ain't doctors, so we ain't going to recommend that. But if you got yourself a stool, got yourself a nice little thing from a gift shop and like the Natural History Museum or some shit like that, where you can get yourself some ancient Egyptian pyramid stuff, or go out and buy yourself a novelty Eiffel Tower from Amazon, stick it on top of that stool with a bit of duct tape, get yourself a hoist.
Lego makes a version.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. That what end up happening there is that would end up going up the pooper shooter and one of the pieces would break and you'd just be stuck with the top of the Eiffel Tower up your ass, and then you'd have to go to the hospital and try and explain why you have a lump of Lego Eiffel Tower up your anus.
And you have like, to decide to what, which is less embarrassing.
Yeah.
Which is less embarrassing? I was trying to Judas cradle myself so I couldn't have kids, or I was doing it for pleasure. Which one are you going to choose? Oh, you go the Seinfeld route and you go, I slipped and fell on it.
Yeah.
It's Fusilli Jerry. Because you silly.
I must find a video of a guy. It's one of these things where it's like, it's in the UK and it's like an emergency room thing. And yeah, he claims that he slipped and fell on something. It was like the handle or something. He obviously stuck up his arse. Pleasuring himself, and I got stuck. Yeah. It was like from like a toilet brush or something like that, as far as I remember. He just seeped into the toilet brush sticking out of his arse. It's like I slipped and fell. It's like just you did not slip and fall on that pole.
Well, the best one's when you see like the x-rays and shit of people with light bulbs up in there. Like, yeah, this was a hard one. Because how do you get that? I mean, how does it go in without breaking? And then, you know, definitely, how do you get it out without it breaking?
I don't know. I don't want to know.
Hopefully, I never have to find out. But, I mean, you never know where life may take you. So, I'm not going to say never, but hopefully never. Yeah. I'm only 40. You don't know what's going to happen in 20 years. I might turn a corner, be into some weird shit. Who knows?
Is it 2 weeks? It's like, look, welcome to our new episode of podcast. By the way, Dan, remember the whole light bulb incident thing we were talking about? Well, it just so happened, like, I was in Home Depot and I slipped. Guess what? Full set of halogen bulbs right up there.
I just sit like this. You'll never guess what happened.
It's a full fluorescent tube sticking out.
you're just walking around like hunched over.
When you stick your toe in the battery, it lights up.
Once your organs realign, it's really okay.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
So when and where did this start? Well, for that we go back to Italy in late 15th century, and a man known as Ippolito Marsili, a.k.a. Hippolytus de Marsilius. Now, some of you, yes, you gotta... Ippolito Marsili. Some of you might remember that name. Dan, I'm sure you don't. And like Dan, for those of you that don't, you only have to go back about 6 episodes to find him. The inventor of Chinese water torture.
Ah. That's what got Dan's like, mistaken I, there, you I see, know. Because I thought the guy who invented Chinese water torture wasn't Italian. I knew he wasn't Chinese, though. I knew it was added because it was foreign, exotic, and dangerous. Because everybody's afraid of the Chinese at the time.
This just shows that the second we're done recording with anything, Dan immediately forgets everything we talked about. Because
especially foreign names, come on.
If you listen to that episode.
This guy, beep, talk, beep, boppity, beep, boop, boop.
We talked about this man. We talked about this man for a while.
We talked about his exploits for a while. I can't remember the guy's name.
Now this lawyer,
Paul Bernardo, though.
That one he remembered because of his sheer hatred. Yeah. he only remembers something if he really, really hates it.
Yeah, like old Crazy Bob.
I think that's an Irish thing. I don't remember you. I don't remember you. Fucking hate you. Don't remember you.
What's that, dickhead?
Now, this lawyer from Bologna devised this insidious contraption as a way of keeping people awake for interrogation. For you that do remember from that episode, that's what Ippolito was most motivated by when it came to torture: sleep deprivation. He figured that just by slightly lowering someone onto this chair, that it would keep them awake for as long as you needed, which is probably not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You start falling asleep, you're like, whoa, yeah. I'm awake. Don't need the coffee, I'm good.
Yeah, it's like the thingy tongue or whatever. No, when the whole point is if you start
the heretic's
asleep,
fork.
And it stab you.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. And I believe the Chinese military actually puts needles in the collar of their uniforms to keep their heads up straight. Because if you start to slouch,
you
one
sure this
the
is
other,
the Chinese and not the Italians? No.
Italians might have done it. Circa Benito Mussolini. Who knows? Maybe.
It's an awful lot of confusion between Chinese and Italian people.
There's a lot of just, is this China? I don't think anybody's ever had to say the phrase, is this Chinese or Italian?
<You know? laughs> Certainly not when I'm eating food, anyway.
Ippolito Mussolini. Ippolito Marsili. Is that Chinese?
Yeah. I think so.
Anyway, he figured that just by slightly... Yeah, okay. I already read that part. Fuck it. And that would be what gave you their confession. Not the pain from the pyramid, but the lack of sleep. Which, I mean, you know. The fact...
It works.
It doesn't work if you want an actual confession.
No torture works if you want an actual confession.
That's you know? True. So to say
again,
it works.
The good old ball hammer is tried and true.
Yeah, just a ball peen hammer to a toe. That's all it takes.
Don't even need to hit me with that thing. Just produce it. Be like, it's Kevin.
You just get it out. You'd be like, you do whatever you want. Take off your shoes. What do you want to know?
Yeah.
You go from real manly to please don't hurt me, daddy, real quick. He and the powers that be, including the general public, saw that since flesh wasn't being burned or removed from the body, the Judas Cradle was actually a more humane way of extorting an admission. All of these torture devices, because there was kind of this idea. Because when you're talking about 15th, 16th, 17th century, you're talking about a lot of people who only saw life itself as a means to an end in order to get to heaven.
Right.
So they saw torture kind of as like one of those, well, if I got to go through, I go through this torture and pain and you'll either repent and then you go to heaven when you die from the horrible torture, or you don't have to repent because you didn't do anything bad and you were a good person, which means when you die from the torture, you'll go to heaven anyway. So either way, you go to heaven. So all you have to do is repent. You know, that's kind of how it's... So...
That makes complete sense.
So if you weren't filleting the flesh off somebody or setting them on fire, it's like, you're on the Judas Cradle, you're in the rack... And you're thinking, that could be worse, I suppose. So this was
nothing
seen.
Boiled alive.
Yeah. But again, his idea for the Judas Cradle wasn't to impale your body. It wasn't to put you in, you know, to rip your fucking asshole off of you. It was to give you just enough pain to keep you awake.
Yeah.
That was until a man, who we talked about very briefly in our Rack episode by the name of Tomás de Torquemada, got a hold of it. The first...
I remember who he is.
You know, yeah, most people know. You don't know who he is?
No, I've got no fucking clue.
Oh, I know who that guy is, really? Fuck no! The fuck's wrong with you? You think I know all these names? It's Spanish.
Chinese
so
guy, Thomas.
Tomás. Tomás de Torquemada. Now that's Chinese, right? I got the first one wrong. That one's Chinese. That's Spanish. The first
surname
Grand
like
Inquisitor.
Nice Torquemada.
What do you guys want for dinner tonight?
Taco.
How about
tortas.
Some torquemadas?
Taco tortas.
It's like, I don't know. That one makes my stomach hurt. the first Grand Inquisitor used it as a device of murdering, along with the rack and his favorite auto de fe, to kill over 2,000 Marianos, who were Jewish converts, Moriscos, who were Islamic converts, Jews, and Moors, who were Muslim Moroccans, suspected of crimes of heresy, apostasy, sorcery, sodomy, polygamy, blasphemy, usury, and other offenses during being the Spanish alive. Inquisition. So, pretty much everything fun.
Yeah.
Were you having fun? Yeah. To the Judas cradle.
No one ever suspects the Spanish Inquisition.
No one suspects the Spanish Inquisition. No. More Monty Python. It always comes back around to Monty Python.
And
up until his death in 1488, the practice was followed up by his successor, Francisco Cardinal Jimenez de Cisneros. Tens, if not hundreds of thousands of people were killed from the beginning of the Inquisition in 1478 until its final end in 1834, and the Judas Cradle was there for all of it. I don't think many people realize that Spanish Inquisition lasted for 400 years.
Yeah.
Now, there was a...
It's ridiculous.
In the 1800s, there was a few times where it was suspended by different rulers, brought back, suspended, brought back. It was finally put down and never brought back in 1834. We will be doing an episode on the Spanish Inquisition at some point down the line. I don't believe it's the first Inquisition we're going to get to, but we'll get to it. And it's horrifying, just so you know. 400 years of stuff to cover.
The Spanish Crusades.
But Spain wasn't the only place it was used. Like other famous devices and methods, when something works, other territories take notice. It's like, oh, look what they're doing over there to that guy's butthole. We can do that over here.
We got loads of triangles.
We make so much money.
Cute.
Maybe sell
Dutch.
Him a condo. Oh, get that's one pyramid scheme I don't want a part of. Boom.
Yeah. I see what you did there.
I see what you did. Don't do it again.
Yeah.
It was used in Germany, where it was called the Judasfliege. In Italy, it was known as the Colle de Giuda, or the Cradle of Judas. And in France, it was called, and I finally have a French word that I should actually say, levé. Ha-ha!
Uh-huh.
Translated to the wake or the night watch. Because the French would place you on the cradle just far enough so that if you clenched your butt tight enough, you could keep it from penetrating, meaning you had to stay awake in order to do so. And if you fell asleep or unclenched, in it went.
Why didn't they just make one that was just a little bit bigger than like your average pen is now? If you think about it, it'd save an awful lot of money, and they literally just have to go and just do that.
Well, know, I mean, if
walk away.
If you look at a regular Judas cradle, it gets pretty wide.
Yeah, that's my point, though, is that they're only meant to be there for the French, were only using it to be uncomfortable, not to, you know, cause severe harm. So if you only had it, like, its size of, like, your average popsicle, then, as y'all would call it.
Well, I would imagine that after a while, if the French kept you up there long enough, they kept you up there for you to die.
All right,
so they're like, clench your butt, they won't go in, and then you come back a few days later, and they unclenched, and you're like, oh.
Just on the ground, like a really poopy-covered lollipop just sitting there. Oh, I've had baguettes that are bigger than this.
They come back, and you're just sitting on the ground. I took it all. It's gone.
I tell you, one person that could do that, Randy Marsh, 100%. I can imagine that, walking back in, that man sitting there, it's like, what has he got? Love Randy.
Now, this was mainly used to meter punishment for adulterers, as well as coerce confessions from those who were accused of witchcraft through medieval Europe. It wasn't part of the Inquisition. They had their own reasons to use it. It was like, did you sleep with somebody other than your wife? Yes. You gotta shove a thing up your ass now.
Wait. But that's what I did when I cheated on my wife.
And I would imagine it was mostly like, the women that got accused of witchcraft. And it was probably mostly women who got punished for adultery, too. Men.
Yeah, you're
when it came to adultery,
you,
men.
Obviously not pleasing him enough. Quickly, burn her at the fire.
Men usually didn't get punished too terribly much for adultery. Unless you were sleeping with another man's wife, then there were issues. But if you slept with another woman, it was probably just a slap on the wrist. If she slept with another man, well, then, yeah, we're going to rip your insides out because...
Oh, sorry, I thought you meant as in the woman gets punished more from when the man cheats because obviously she's not doing a good enough job to keep him.
Well, I mean, maybe in some circles of the world, possibly.
Because we all know it's their duty to keep us happy, apparently.
Again, the opinions of Daniel Horrigan do not necessarily represent the opinions of Torture Pod Inc.
There was something we were watching there recently, something my wife were, and I was absolutely appalled watching it where, what was it again? And a guy turned around in it and said straight up, like, look, you're meant to keep your husband happy. Book the fuck up. Anything. I was like, what the fuck? The guy's being a complete asshole.
You just look at Alice and you're like, did you hear that? Yeah.
Oh, I know what it was. It was this Irish show, right? I must send it on to you, actually. It's based in Northern Ireland back in the 80s, 90s. So, very religious at the time. And
sure.
It's called The Secret, right? And anybody over in the UK that's listening, Joe Nesbitt is the lead actor and brilliant actor. But anyway, it's the whole thing about him having an affair with this married woman. And they're basically it's like, yeah, saying, it says to your man's wife, like, yeah, you need to do a better job keeping him happy and he won't stray. It's like, are you fucking serious?
that's like the calling card of all the conservative Christians over here, like all the headstrong Republicans over here. That's what they preach to the ends of the earth. Yep. Man is the head of the household and you should do whatever you have to keep him happy and all that stuff. Cook clean and naked in the bedroom.
God, if I had that approach with my wife, I would be 6 feet under and rightly so.
Oh yeah.
I do all the cooking and cleaning. I don't expect to walk in and not all the cleaning. Sorry. I don't expect to walk in and be like, hey, woman, where's my dinner? She walks in and say, hey, where's my dinner to me? When are you feeding me? It's your way around.
Daniel, stop.
Yeah. Where is my food?
She's just sitting out at the table, fork in one hand, knife in the other, banging on it. I want nourishment.
Yep.
Feed me.
Feed me, Seymour.
Feed me, Seymour. We do about half and half of the cooking. We kind of split that, and we split most of the cleaning too. She does like dishes and shit, and I do laundry. So,
I think
is the way it should be. I think everything should be split down the middle.
Oh yeah, I would say. Well, the way we split it was simply the fact that Alison hates cooking, and I like cooking, so I'm happy to do all the cooking basically. And so she does more cleaning than I would do because everything's still like split in the sense that I mean, because I also do all the shopping. So, I do a lot of cooking, I may as well do a lot of shopping because I know what I want to buy. So
true. Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Stephanie does the majority of our shopping. I mean, I'll run to the store and get a few things that I might need for a meal or whatever. But as when it comes to, like, the bulk shopping, like, you know, you get paid. It's like, okay, I'm going to go get 2 weeks' worth of shit. So, you know, we have it. She does it because she has a better eye for deals and for, you know, She spends less money on the essentials than what I would, because my eye would wander.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, though, is I'll be honest with you. Like, Alison would spend less. We'd spend less if she was with me. But the thing is, most of the time she isn't, because she's usually off doing something else, whatever. But at the same time, it's always down to me, because I know what I want to get. You know, but I don't look as often as she does at the prices of things.
Yeah, so, I mean, she's got apps on the phone. She's looking coupons, and she's like, oh, I get cash back on this if we get that. It's like, yeah, she does all that. I just go in there and I grab what I think we need.
Yeah, need bread.
But of course, but if it was me, it'd be like, okay, we need this many dinners, we need this many breakfasts, we need this many lunches. You got half of what we needed and 18 bags of beef jerky. What are we going to do? I'd be like, oh, I'll give them beef jerky for lunch. It'll be fine.
Beef jerky chopped up with some milk for breakfast. Yeah. There you go.
What? You got to think about what's wrong with beef jerky? Yeah. It's because you spend $20 on an 1 ounce thing about that big. Beef jerky is so fucking expensive.
It can be, yeah. It's stupid.
Now, before you go saying, oh, well, it's such a horrible punishment, there's no way it could be real, like the choke pair or the head crusher or the Iron Maiden or the other myriad of devices that never really existed, I'm here to tell you that you are completely wrong. The historical authenticity of the Judas Cradle is supported by various historical records and accounts from the medieval period. While there might be some variations in the design and usage across different regions and time periods. I almost said periods earlier when I said pyramids, and now I'm saying pyramids, but I should say periods. It's going to be a problem for a while. There is ample evidence to suggest that it was indeed a real torture device employed during the Middle Ages. References to the Judas Cradle can be found in medieval texts, artwork, historical documents. Additionally, archaeological findings, such as depictions of the device in illustrations or references to it in legal records, further confirm its existence and use. Now, while the specifics of the Judas Cradle's design and how frequently it was employed by may vary, its overall function as a tool of torture remains consistent in historical accounts. So, yeah, it was real, and it was used, and it was built in such a way that you can still find authentic versions of them in a lot of torture museums throughout Europe, and they might have one up in the Torture Museum in Chicago. I don't know. I haven't got a chance to go up there and take a look. I know my kids are going this weekend, so maybe I could ask them. Not to the torture museum. They're going. Their mother is taking them to Chicago. It's like, maybe you guys could take a detour to a torture museum and tell me what's there.
Sure, why not?
None of my kids would want to do that. None
I was thinking, looking at this here, yeah, there's so many different versions of it, little variations and stuff like that. And all I keep having in my head is there's one image that it keeps coming up where it has kind of like sitting down, so it's like legs are like this.
Uh-huh.
I just kind of feel like, what would happen if you grab a leg and you spun him? You know, like sitting on top of the thing. I also see the very first version of the horse that's used in gymnastics.
Sitting there. The Spanish donkey.
That's what the Spanish donkey is.
I believe so. Yeah, yeah, and that is the subject of another episode that we will cover, because it's kind of its own thing. I don't think it's quite as bad as the Judas Cradle, but I think it's bad in its own way. A lot of pressure on sensitive areas.
Looks pretty bad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they would grab you and kind of like, not spin you, but like shake you and pull leg, you know, and shimmy you down onto it. So I'd imagine like they put you on there just like a top, just like barely placed. She's like, comfortable? Everything okay? Whee! Just spinning.
It's like,
I
want to
hate it, but it's kind of fun.
Like a human fidget spinner.
Well, this torture has this guy up on a Judas cradle, and this torture has this guy up on a Judas cradle, and they start spinning them, and they like Beyblade it out where they're crashed together like tops. Sparks flying off.
Fucking awesome.
The human Beyblade.
Oh.
Fucking Christ.
That would be excellent. I'd pay to see that.
That'd be pretty cool. Oh, fuck.
A new movie idea.
Movie. Yeah. You know how we had that horrible horrible idea for the movie with the zombies and the sleeping bags? Cut that. Got something better. Listen to this.
Yeah.
Just take it to MGM right now. Disney. Disney will make it. Disney takes all the horrible things and makes it into a little cartoon fairy tale. It's fine. They'll do it. Now, today there are some unconfirmed reports that the Judas Cradle is still used in some Latin American countries for torture. I wasn't actually able to find any myself. However, the original design was said to have been modified by adding an electrically charged harness. It's like, you know what this medieval torture needs? Some electricity.
Why?
Well, you think you're sitting on it, and you're like, well, this couldn't be any worse, and then they flip a switch, and you're like, it's worse, it's so much worse. And a significantly sharper tip on the pyramid.
I thought there's a point in how sharp it was, though. No,
no pun intended. There was a point in how sharp it was to begin with, but apparently they made it even sharper. I had read the words razor blades may have been used.
No.
Yeah, to maybe line the tip of it. Super thin, maybe needles on top, stuff like that. So
basically, yeah. Your ass would end up looking like one of those things you use for decorating cupcakes, you know, for the top of the bag.
Every time you take a shit, it comes out like a flower.
So they're swirling it around as you're going.
Oh, it hurts so bad that you get up and look down the toilet. Oh. Kind of pretty.
Yeah, it's the best one I've done yet.
The splatters of blood on top really makes it look like a rose.
That's if you're lucky enough to be able to take a shit afterwards.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. Well, and you wouldn't push it out anymore. If you, depending on how far up that thing goes, it literally just falls out of you. Yeah. It gets down to that point.
Yeah, you're just sitting there. I think I need to... Yeah. I did.
Oh. Now, while the widespread use of this device has greatly diminished, the use of the modified Judas Cradle is believed to be present in some countries as a tool to extract information as well as to elicit confessions through sleep deprivation. Now, this is in view of the fact that the United Nations has officially condemned the use and practice of sleep deprivations and pronounced it as inhumane, leaving Ippolito Marsili rolling in his grave. It's like, this is inhumane. No, I based my whole life on it being okay.
Oh. Yeah. Well, fuck you, asshole.
Well, that's what he was trying to do. He was trying to fuck your asshole.
Yeah, well.
With a myriad of pointy objects. Dan, any pop culture? God, I hope not, but I'm sure there is some.
Not really directly is the thing. So I was looking at stuff. So here's the thing. So there's a short film called Judas Cradle, which I don't seem to have actually has anything to do with it. I just think it sounds dangerous and mad.
Uh-huh,
there's an episode. Yeah. There's a TV series that used to be on called Mary Kills People. There's an episode of that apparently called Judas Cradle. Whether or not she is that. There is a... there's a thing, a show called Surviving History, which has some stuff to do with this on it too, which is cool. Then I found some songs. So there's a band called Eater of Worlds.
Ooh.
And they have a song called they have an EP called the Judas Cradle. And then there's a band called Spawn Ranch. I don't know how you pronounce it. They have a song called the Judas Cradle. I've not gotten to listen to either of them. but I will give them a listen. And I'm pretty sure they're probably terrible.
So. I doubt you're missing anything. Nothing from Tay-Tay.
But, no, it's just these two. What the fuck is this? Oh, sorry, just...
I can't hear anything.
That's... Right, so I stuck on a couple of seconds of the one from Spawn Ranch. And
yeah.
It sounds... I don't know how to describe it, like industrial Billy Idol or something. I'll send it on to you now, and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about when you listen to it. Right?
Fair enough.
It's pretty terrible. I haven't listened to the metal band one. But anyway, yeah. But that's all, sadly. All right, there's well, no...
there's let's nothing, give us a listen real quick. Why is there laughing? Okay, I think that's all we can play. Yeah. No thanks. That's good. I'm good. Oh. Well, thank you to our patrons. Go ahead.
I was going to say that album cover looks a bit like the cover from, is it the thingy, the Jackal? You know, the movie with Harrison Ford? The one about where Thingy gets shot. Where JFK gets shot or some shit. Is that the Day of the Jackal? Is that the one or some shit? I don't know.
I don't know if that's one or not.
I don't know, but it looks like...
Looks like it should be a Static X album, almost. The colors and the... Anyway, thank you to our patrons, Willow Quinfowler and Nevin. If you would like to join our Patreon and, again, here... our extended episodes and hear all about my botched vasectomy. I don't know if I'd say botched, but unfortunate vasectomy.
Well, we'd say here is
whenever you have the doctor going, whenever you have the doctor going, dude, I am so sorry. It's an issue. You can go to patreon.com/torturepod and sign up. You get a free week on our cult leader tier. You can, there's several ways to get a hold of us, whether it be through social media, our Instagram, or our TikToks at TorturePod, or you can email us, torturepod@gmail.com. Go rate and review wherever you listen. I know, if you can, I know Apple, Podchaser, Good Pods, you can still rate and review on those. That would be great. It really actually helps us a lot. If you rate and review on those, it kind of gets us up. And again, if you're going to leave us a 1-star review, please tell us why. Even if it's just to fuck with you guys, I can respect that. I can respect if you give us a 1-star review and say just to fuck with you, I can respect it. I will report it and get it taken away. But I respect game respects game.
Yeah. I think you shouldn't be allowed to leave 1-star without writing something.
If you leave, I don't think you should reviews, be allowed. Yeah. Yeah, I think you should have to. If you're going to leave a review, I think you should have. If you're going to rate something, you should have to leave a review, and it should be reviewed by the company to make sure it's not just some and like
they
gibberish.
Should give you a 1-star review on your review.
Yeah, kind of like Uber. You can rate the driver, but the driver can also rate you.
There you go.
Yeah. You can donate to us on our link trees. You can go to buymeacoffee.com and buy us a pizza. Again, you can do our Patreon. Or you can go to redbubble.com/people/torturepod and get some
of your merch.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah. You can go... There it is. You can go on our YouTube... So you can see our D'Angelis. Faces.
The Irish people get that. It's D'Angelis. Do it again, Kevin.
Go to our YouTube, youtube.com/torturepod, if you would like to watch your podcasts rather than listen to your podcasts. No hate here. And also, you can support us by supporting our sponsors. Thank them for sponsoring us. A hit for our next episode. Don't take rides from creepy guys in trucks. Dan's face. It's almost a word of wisdom.
Yeah.
Our hint is almost my word of wisdom for today. Speaking of which, Dan, do you have any words of wisdom?
Yeah, this one is stolen straight from good old Groucho Marx. So it is. Just, outside of a dog, a book is man's best friend. Inside of a dog, it's too dark to read.
Oh, more poignant words have not been spoken in a long time. I thought you said, say the magic word of the duck comes down, but I guess that's a different, word of wisdom for a different time. Well, another one successfully done. Cha-ching. All right, I could hear the money rolling in. Penny after penny. You hear that? I just heard a man go, ooh, he's listening to it late. He's going, oh. All right. Take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. We'll see you.
Au revoir.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Attention campers! The new Camp Snoopy at Kings Island brings your family summer camp fun all season long. Head to camp with Snoopy, Charlie Brown, and the whole Peanuts gang for fun and adventure. Race forwards and backwards on the new family boomerang coaster, Snoopy Soapbox Racers. Explore on your own with more space to roam at Beagle Scout Acres. And don't forget to grab a snack at Pigpen's Mess Hall. Now, for a limited time, get junior tickets for just $29.99 during the Kids Adventure Sale. Kings Island, for the fun of it.